Hello and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Kelsey.
And I'm Mary.
Okay, today we are so excited to welcome published author and music video star, Devin Daniels. Welcome, Devin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Devin, we cannot tell you how excited we are to have you. So let's first tell our listeners a little bit about you. You're a born and bred California girl. You used to work in marketing, product design, and music, and now you love writing books that make people laugh, cry, and swoon. So your debut novel, Meet You in the Middle, was chosen as one of the best books of 2021 by USA Today, and you just released your second novel, The Rom-Con, this past November, and it's getting amazing reviews. Congratulations, Devin.
Thank you so much.
We also learned about you that when you're not writing, we'll find you clinging to your sanity as a mom, direct quote, playing mom, chef, chauffeur, and referee to your four children, or sneaking off with your husband for date nights. We love that.
Just yelled at the kids not to interrupt this.
It's okay. We want them to hear how cool their mom is. So yes. Feel free to have an audience for this one. So obviously we know that you're an incredibly talented and successful author, but that is not all, because you first came to our attention when we learned that you are a living legend, because you are one of the girls losing your mind in the record-breaking, chart-topping, known by literally everyone walking this earth, I Want It That Way music video. Tell me why.
Can't wait to talk about this. Let me just tell you that even though it's been 20 some years, it does not get old for me. I like to say that it is my 15 minutes of fame that has lasted, you know, like 20 plus years. So let me tell you how this came to be. That's why we're all here. So back in, let's see, I would have been like a junior in high school. Okay. So I graduated high school in 2000. So let's say it's like 99. I think that's basically when this was, 98, 99 timeframe. My friends and I loved going to and basically breaking into Hollywood events. Okay. Now, I always like to preface this by saying this was a different time. Okay. This is pre 9/11. There was not the same level of security, you know, going places. So if we, you know, we were only 45 minutes outside of LA and we wanted to, for example, drive and go to the MTV Movie Awards, we could do that. And we could sneak into this. Okay. Now, we sometimes went legitimately and sometimes it was illegitimate. Okay. So we had signed up for a service that was like a seat filling service. And you basically, you would get like an email. I don't even know, like, was there email back then? I guess there probably was. Very, very like prehistoric times. Okay.
AOL.com, Yahoo.
That's what I had, AOL.com. And, you know, my family shared an email address. This is like my friend and I would get like in a chat room and like, this is how we would chat. But anyway, so we signed up for this seat filling service and we would occasionally get alerts. Like there were so many award shows back then. You have to keep in mind, there were so many. The Blockbuster Entertainment Awards. Do you recall
Blockbuster?
Right.
Oh my God.
The Teen Choice Awards. There's all these really random kind of niche award shows. And we would be like, okay, so we know where this is and when it is. Can we get a legitimate like name on a list situation where then we can kind of run amok once we're there, or are we going to have to break in? So I would say a lot of times we did break in, and our methods for this were, again, I don't encourage anyone to do this in 2023, but we did a variety of things. You know, part of it is just acting the part, right? Dressing the part, kind of pretending that you know where you're going, like not stopping to ask. You know, a lot of these security guards are just like, as we call, rent-a-cops, right? Like they don't know, right? They don't know who you are. They don't know what you're doing. Now they may ask you for, you know, a ticket or something like that. And you want to be prepared for those situations. So the one thing that we would do, again, not condoning, we would create fake passes. To go.
Oh, how would you
genius.
Know what they looked like?
That's the thing. We didn't. Okay. So we would go on to that. Now, again, prehistoric times, there would be like a very basic website that would say like the Teen Choice Awards, and it would have a logo. So we would just take that logo, literally Microsoft Word, like Microsoft Paint.
Okay. Word art.
Yes. Okay. We would put it there and we would write underneath it like VIP. Now, keep in mind, after we'd gone to a few events, we kind of knew what these passes looked like. So we had real passes that we would like get off of people as we were leaving. So we had kind of a model. Okay.
This is like Catch Me If You Can when he takes the traveler's
I loved that movie because I was like, this is exactly what we did. Okay. This is 100% what we did, except for I wasn't like cashing checks, right? This was just like trying to get close to like NSYNC. That was like my main goal. So my friend had a laminator, okay? So we would literally print this out on our computer. It's very like, you know, not high budget here, all right? We'd print it out, she would laminate it, and we had a lanyard, and we'd wear it. That is all that it took to be able to get anywhere you wanted. We could get backstage, we could get anywhere. I mean, like, you name it. We went into dressing rooms of these celebrities. Yes, yes. Now, granted, we didn't try to do this, like, while they were in there. We would like wait till they were not in there, but then we would like walk in. We saw some stuff. Okay. And, you know, keep in mind, we're like 16. And I was like, what were you thinking letting us do this? Like, this was such a bad call. I would never let my kids do this. But I think it was just like a different time. It was much more innocent. You know, there's no social media. There was no, I don't know, there was no way to get near your celebrity crushes, really. You know, like there was no communication method like there is right now. We weren't up to no good necessarily. It was just like you wanted to get close and then kind of gawk at them. Like occasionally we were actually faced with them and it was like, what are we going to say? Like,
what do you do now?
Well, literally. And then you're like, we have nothing to say. You just wanted to get close. Like that was really kind of the main event. And then it was like, well, now what? There was a time, I'm not kidding you, when we had been to events every single weekend for like a month. And we were like, this is almost getting tiresome. Like we knew everyone that surrounded NSYNC because we were literally following them around. And we learned their publicist and we got his phone number. And so occasionally we would like call him up and be like, hey, are they going to be at this thing? Should we go? You know, like we learned their bodyguards. You know, you remember at this time, they all had the same bodyguards, right? Britney Spears and NSYNC. We started to get to know them and we would end up chatting with them and we would, you know, they would learn who we were, you know, so they knew we were not like a threat or anything like that. It wasn't like dangerous, but it was just in retrospect, I'm like, where did we get the balls to do this and to think that like this was appropriate? I don't know, but I have a lot of amazing photos and stories to show for it.
Wait, so can you tell us some story? Like any like fun memories or cool interactions or run-ins?
I mean, let me just pull out the photo album here, guys.
Oh. Okay,
so we'll start with,
for our listeners, she just has a full binder. a huge black, what is that, like 3-inch binder?
Like here, I kept like my list that would say the things to pack for the Kids' Choice Awards. All right, look at this. This is a Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. Like, how did I get a real ticket? I don't know. And like sometimes we would get there and someone would be like, here's a ticket. And they would just like give us tickets. Or like, you know, someone was leaving early and they'd be like, here's my VIP pass. You know, so it was like we actually had like legitimate access for something. So,
you just had to get your foot in the door and then the rest would all fall into place.
Blockbuster Entertainment Awards here. There's like a real Ticketmaster ticket. Like how? I don't know. I don't know how I got it. You know, I don't remember.
Was that like the infancy of Ticketmaster? That had to have been like the very beginning.
You know, back in my day, we had to go to Tower Records hours early and stand in line. And then you'd be sitting there screaming because the person who, you know, is supposed to be opening it up and starting to sell tickets at 9 a.m. is moving slowly. There's no phone, you know, there was no phone. There was no phone system. There was no website. So you're literally like at the mercy of this person who's running a like a computer. And every like second that would pass that we didn't get our tickets, we'd be like screaming, you know, like someone else is getting our amazing tickets. And oh my goodness. Anyway, so this, we're here at the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards, but like, you know, we're kind of some seats back. Now at that particular one, NSYNC did a like hanging from the strings.
Yes.
Strings attached.
Wasn't no era. They did like sailing. I don't know. It was a really weird performance, but they were sitting on the stage and then they took flight literally. Okay, so here. Can you see this?
Oh my gosh. That's so
okay, so
cool.
NSYNC are floating in the air.
Did you like, have what? Your like Kodak little disposable?
I had a real camera. I literally had I had the what was known as the Canon Digital Elf. This is what I used like in college too. Like, you know, it was like a real camera, right? But so then the whole goal after, you know, a show like this would be we want to get into the after party because all the celebrities would go into an after party that's on site. Okay. And it was just a matter of like, you know, which entrance is going to be not manned by security or like, you know, which security guards can we befriend where they're not going to give us any like problems for this. So here's us with, this was this guy, Ruben, who was the NSYNC drummer.
Oh,
now there's a really great one in here because this was one of my favorites. Okay. So this is this guy, Roger, who was the NSYNC publicist. This is
oh
the
my
guy.
God. Oh. He has like frosted tips. He looks like Lance.
Wild Orchid. Now, if you can recall, this is Fergie. So she was in this girl band called Wild Orchid before she was part of the Black Eyed Peas.
How did you decide what to wear to that particular event? That must have been like agonizing.
So this is another funny thing. So at the time I worked at the Wet Seal corporate office. Okay. Not a Wet Seal like store, but the corporate office, which is located in Irvine. And I would get free clothing all the time. So I would get like this, you remember Wet Seal and like Contempo Casuals and like Arden B. They were all part of the same corporation. So I would get all this random clothing and I would bring it home and share it with my friends.
Amazing.
You had it all figured out, Devin. You had a sophisticated operation.
Very sophisticated. Okay, so then here, I don't know if you can see this. You got Joey and Lance. You've got Sherry O'Terry and Harry Connick Jr. Okay. What? I know.
Joey's signature red hair, Lance's frosted tips.
Yes, okay, that was the red hair stage, okay? So they started to recognize us after a while. And they didn't question this, you know.
And they're like, don't you go to school?
Oh, we're 16. Okay, so then here, I don't know if you can see this, we got Chris.
Chris looks really good in that picture.
Pineapple hair stage, okay?
Who was? So you were like really into NSYNC, Devin. Did you have a favorite?
Oh, JC. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
We are JC girlies also.
So this was, by the way, we're moving on to MTV Movie Awards. Somehow I won real tickets too. Okay, so on the radio was another one of my strategies. Okay, so if you called into the radio enough, they would be like, yeah, we've got tickets to, you know, all these different shows. By the way, okay, so here, I'm skipping a lot, but like, this is Katie Holmes. So we were doing seat filling. Okay, and this was, of course, James Vanderbeek.
I don't know if Dawson himself.
Can you imagine, like, you know, as, you know, this was like the height of like, Ben Affleck was at this one.
I would faint. How did you like play it cool?
Yeah, oh my that's God. A good one.
Like Samuel L. Jackson. Anyway, he denied us a picture. So he's been on my bad list ever since.
Snakes on a plane, indeed.
He said no picture. Huh. And that's the only person in the history of time that said no. Okay, so we've got more Dawson here. I don't know if you can see.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Okay, we got Kid Rock here. Wait, there's a really great one coming that I'm like the most excited about. Okay, this is my favorite. Okay.
Okay, wait.
Kerry Russell.
Oh my gosh.
She's so pretty. You guys this all look great. Like you could be friends. Like this looks like a friend photo.
Yeah. I mean, so we were obsessed with Felicity and that was what was on at the time. And that was just like the most exciting was seeing her. Okay. So then I'm going to get into the Backstreet Boys now, but first I'm going to show you this. This will lead me in. So we went to hang out with JoJo on the radio at Kiss FM. Okay, so I don't know where you're located, but in LA, you know, everyone listens to JoJo on the radio. So we went and Mila Kunis was there. Okay, again, this was like that 70s show time frame, way pre-Ashton. Okay, so that's JoJo down there. So we would be listening to JoJo on the radio. And every night at 9 o'clock, they would do the top five at nine. And you would write down the top five songs. And then if you called in and you were caller 102, you would win something. Okay, whatever. I don't know what it was, like money, tickets, whatever. So we would do this and we'd call in obsessively. And I remember, so one night I called in and it was always exciting when the phone rang because usually it was just busy. So if it rang, you knew someone was going to pick up, like you got through. So got through, but they were like, you're not caller 102. Sometimes they would pick up the phone, they would say 75. And then it would be like, click. This particular night they picked up, but they were like, you know, you're not 102. And they put me on with JoJo. Okay. And sometimes when that happened, you were like, oh my gosh, am I going to be on the radio? Like, you know, that you would call and talk to him and then that would be on radio. And he said, well, okay, so here's the deal. You're not caller 102, but we are trying to recruit girls to go to this music video shoot for the Backstreet Boys. And it's like tomorrow. Okay. This was like, let's say it was like a Wednesday. He's like, you know, it's a random school night and they need people tomorrow. Like, so do you and a friend want to go to this? We basically need to get like 50 girls. And I was like, yeah, I didn't even think twice. Okay. And this was like, I want to make it clear that this was pre, you know, the Millennium album, right? So the Backstreet Boys had their first album out, which had, you know, like As Long As You Love Me and like Backstreet's Back, but they had not hit a peak. Okay. When Millennium came out, that was truly like the peak, you know, I Want It That Way had not come out yet. So we had never heard that song. We did not know what the music video was for. There was very little details given.
Were you a Backstreet Boys fan? I know you were an NSYNC girly. So can you tell us more about what that push and pull was?
So that's the thing. I was an NSYNC fan. So like, I was kind of like, I liked the Backstreet Boys, but I was like really into NSYNC. So I immediately called my friend who was the bigger Backstreet Boys fan and she could not go. To this day, she said, this is my biggest regret in life.
Yes.
That I didn't change my plans to go to this.
What was the conflict?
Okay, the conflict was legit. Okay. So keep in mind, you know, we're in high school. She was going on a college trip across the country. Okay. So she had like, you know, flight and everything planned. She didn't end up going to that school. And she said, this is the biggest mistake of my life. I'll never forgive myself for this. Anyway, so then I call my other best friend, who she and I are both kind of clueless about the Backstreet Boys. Like we liked them and we knew some of their music, but I couldn't have told you like, here's all five of the guys' names, right? Like, I could have maybe picked them out in a crowd. But anyway, so we were like, obviously we're going to go to a music video shoot. Hello. There's no question. Again, my parents, you know, hey, this sounds totally normal. Like no big deal, guys. Absolutely. You should go to this. Okay, let me just tell you how sketchy this was, okay? They don't give you any information. It was like, here's where you're going. It's a random hangar at LAX. The directions were so sketchy, what they gave us. It was like, when you get off the freeway, make a left at the pink sign. And then, you know, make a right at the picture of a bear. Like, it was bizarre. Like, they were trying to be, like, covert, you know? Like, they didn't want people to know. They're not going to put up signs that say, like, music video shoot.
Backstreet Boys, next left.
So we just like go, you know, head to LA to do this. And I want to say it was like afternoon. I can't remember, like, did we miss any school for this? Like, these are all things I don't totally remember. But anyway, so we go and we parked. And then I think they took us to this hangar. Like, it was a short distance away. Let's say we got on a shuttle and we go over there. And that's when we saw, like, okay, so then there's the plane. Okay, now it doesn't say Backstreet Boys on it. That was something that they added later with, like, you know, CGI. So there's a plane there and they're kind of telling us, okay, here's what you're going to do. And they like had signs, you know, like the flowers. I think some people had brought stuff who maybe were like, were really obsessed with Backstreet Boys, but we were not told to bring anything. We did not bring anything. And they had all this stuff that kind of like passed out that we could hold. I think did we run through it like a couple times before the guys came out? I can't like exactly remember. And here's the other interesting thing. There were paid extras there as well. So it was like, we had the screaming girls who were like the true fans who were there for free. And then there were actual like paid extras also there. Okay.
Can you
like
tell the difference?
Well, I would say that, you know, the part where, you know, the girls are all screaming, that's clearly not extras. Okay. Now the extras, so I'm going to get to that. Okay. You're not going to see the extras in that plane section because the girls, we were all freaking out, you know, so much. So they basically like put us in the circle and they had the guys come out and immediately like everyone starts freaking out. Now they had these like large speakers set up on the ground and they played the song and then the guys are basically like lip syncing to it. And we ran through it. I don't know how many times, you know, I don't know how many times they played it and they were just kind of like dancing around the circle. And, you know, it's like chaos, like it's pandemonium. Like it doesn't take much. You know, you tell girls like, oh my gosh, you know, freak out. Like, it's like, they're the Beatles, whatever. But you're telling this to a bunch of girls who are already obsessed with the Backstreet Boys. Mm-hmm. And then you're telling them to like ramp it up even more. It was not a hard, you know, like direction to take. So, you know, everyone's kind of feeding off each other and getting more and more like, you know, excited. You know, of course, at this point, you know, there's cameras going around filming, but we really did not know. You don't know what's going to make it in. You don't know if it's going to be some sort of crowd shot. You know, you don't have no concept of it. But the cool thing was that, like, literally the guys are like coming up to you and kind of like singing in your face. Like, they're right there. You could touch them. You could hold their hand. You could do all these things, right? It was just exciting. And the one thing I remember very vividly is that when they played the song one time, you automatically knew it by heart. You know how catchy that song is. I mean, there's a reason why that song has endured. It's because it's so damn catchy. And it's like, we heard it one time and you're singing it the second time. And I remember that song was in my head for like days afterwards. I was like, it was so catchy. And that's not something that is going to happen, you know, at every like music video shoot. In fact, I did another music video years later and the song was obviously not super popular, but I mean, I was just like this. Just like everyone there was singing it instantly and no one had heard it yet because no one had heard any songs off of Millennium yet. So
I was going to say, you guys were like the first people to ever hear the most iconic song of like our generation.
You know, knowing what I know now, like I could go back and like experience this because it was just, I don't want to say it's like life changing, but it like, I didn't realize that I would still be talking about this literally 30 years later, like 20.
You're a piece of history, right, Devin, like truly.
Well, I remember looking and seeing that, like, that I Want It That Way has been viewed on YouTube, like, however many billion times. And that didn't really connect with me that, like, people have seen my face that many times. By the way, fast forward. So when I made this TikTok video 2 years ago or something, it was kind of on a whim. And I was trying to do things to get my books out there a little bit more. And I thought, well, what is like the one thing that I think people will really react to is that Backstreet Boys video. Cause every time, like, you know, it keeps coming back. Like, you know, on the show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they have that really hilarious, Want It That Way. Yes. Where they're in the lineup and like every single person on the earth sent that to me and like tagged me in that.
Number one, could you please sing the opening to I Want It That Way?
Really? You are my fire.
Number two, keep it going.
The one desire.
Number three.
Believe when I say.
Number four.
I want it that way.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Now number five.
I never wanna hear you say.
I want it that way.
Oh, chills. Literal chills.
When there's a Super Bowl commercial with I Want It That Way, I get tagged a million times. Like, it will never die. Anyway, so I did that TikTok and kind of like didn't spend a lot of time on it. And it just immediately shot off, you know, off. And I think my kids were very like caught off guard also, because they just have kind of always rolled their eyes at this. And then all of a sudden, I literally have Backstreet Boys commenting on my video.
Nick!
You know, this is something that's so interesting to me. Like, we had such a separation and a divide between us and celebrities back in that day. Now there's no separation. There's no divide. You can communicate directly. And the idea that like I could put a TikTok video like this together pretty quickly and then have, you know, Nick Carter literally having like a tweet thread with me about it and like, you know, commenting on my TikTok, and I can see like Kevin Richardson viewed your reel. What? You know, like 20 years later, that's just, it's very difficult for my, you know, like 18, 17 year old brain to think back, like how insane that is, you know, now looking back. So going back. Okay. So we filmed this whole thing in the circle. I don't know how many times, 3, 4, 5 times. Okay. And also funny, you know, the guy who was the director of it, Wayne Isham, he was the director of all of these music videos that were on Making the Video and all that.
He's like, iconic.
He was like a celebrity to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So it ends and then they send all the girls home. Okay. So all the girls who were like the Kiss FM radio people, they like sent them off to their cars to go. And my girlfriend and I were like, oh no, oh no, we are not leaving. And there's all these paid extras here who aren't leaving. And we're going to just pretend that we're paid extras and we're going to like just slide right in with this crowd. And that's what we did. And I don't know if they knew and they didn't care or if they truly didn't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We stayed. Okay. So they got everyone into a bus and they bussed us over to LAX. Like it was a terminal. And that is where we filmed, you know, like when they're walking in.
Yes.
In the very beginning, in the slow-mo on both sides. So we filmed that. So you can see me in that part as well. Then we did a bunch of stuff inside the terminal where we know how they're doing the dancing. And it's, again, we didn't see them dancing there. That was like added later. So they kind of combined us like walking back and forth behind with the dancing later. But it was interesting because, you know, this now is going on all night long. So I want to say that this started like at, I don't know, 3 or 4 p.m., let's say. Then it goes all night long. We did not get home probably until, you know, like 8 in the morning. I can't remember exactly. What? This went the whole night and we had no food, okay? So we're sitting in the terminal.
No craft services?
No, there's no craft services. But at one point, McDonald's got brought for the Backstreet Boys. And the rest of us were like, we're going to die of starvation. And we're like watching them eat McDonald's. That was painful. But we were like, you know, starvation, this is the price we pay to be close to the Backstreet Boys. We don't care. We'll make it work. But yeah, so like we could have just chatted with them all night long. Like they were literally right next to us. You know, we just were kind of coking and joking, you know, like everyone was tired. And this is kind of the thing that I think a lot of people don't get, especially when you like break into a lot of these events and there's just nothing to do. There's nothing to do. It's very boring. When they're filming stuff, there's a ton of downtime. You're just kind of standing around. I mean, it's exciting the first few times that you do it, especially if you're like 16 or 17. Then you're just like, okay, I'm hungry and I want to go home. But anyway, so this did. It went on the whole night long. I'm trying to remember if there was anything else great, but like we did like the going up and down the escalators. In the video, you'll see like the shoes getting on and off the escalator. So we did a variety of that stuff and nothing was really as exciting though as like the hangar part. The hangar was obviously the most exciting. So let's say it's all done. We get bussed back. We go home and we had no idea how the video was going to turn out. We didn't know what to expect, if you were even going to be able to like see us, you know, but it was a fun story and we had all these pictures. And by the way, you know, we're taking pictures on the real camera and it's not a digital camera. So you don't even see what photo.
Wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You're like, my pictures could be crap. I don't know. Like, I took all these pictures, but maybe they're not good.
Is there a finger in it? Like, who knows?
Right, with the flash, you know, it was nighttime. It was not good. And so there were these other girls. There was like a pair of sisters who we exchanged literally a physical address. There were no email address, like a physical address. And we were like, we will send you copies of our photos. And will you send us copies of yours? So like, we can
get doubles.
So we can ensure that we all get great photos. And that's what we did. So I have their photos in line.
Like, that is a sisterhood, a BSB sisterhood right there.
Snail mail. God bless it. So the actual video came out pretty shortly after. It was like a month later. I want to say that this was like April.
Gosh. Yes, it was April. I have your post up. The video was filmed overnight on April 1 to 2, 1999. The video came out on May 5th, 1999.
Wow. Okay, so May 5th.
A month.
Basically a month, yeah. So, you know, I think we found out that it was coming out because we were watching TRL, of course, as we all do. And, you know, there was a big, you know, hoopla about them premiering this video. So we had a watch party after school at my friend's house, the one who couldn't be in the video, okay? The one who missed out on this. And when, you know, my face came on the screen, we screamed. I mean, it was very out of body because I just did not think there's going to be a literal close-up of my face you know, in this, by the way, more than one time. And my friend is in it too. So like, we're both like, it's close-ups of our face, but I was really like, you know, aggressive with the hand, you know,
emoting.
Yes.
So there's two close-ups on my face in pretty rapid succession. And it was enough that everyone knew it was me. And like, literally by the time I got home that day, my parents were like, the phone has been ringing off the hook about this. And then, you know, that was the premiere of the video. But as we all know, the video then was played on an endless loop.
Forever.
Forever.
I mean, I think it was the first one on MTV to ever have to be retired or something.
I think yes. You're probably right. It was just constant. And like, and that song was on the radio. I mean, just literally 24/7 for a long, long, long time. And, you know, even now when you watch like these, you know, top 50 songs of the 2000s, it's always number one.
Yeah, I see your clip in it. Like, it's not just that song. It's like they will often show your part as well. It's crazy.
My behavior in that video is very quintessential teenage boy band of the 2000s. You know,
Mary and I still act that way when we go to their concerts. So I don't know what you're talking about. We haven't let go of that. We're doing our best Devin Daniels every time we go to a Backstreet Boys concert.
Doesn't it make you just feel like you're there when you when you see them and you go to these? I mean, like, I'm like desperately wishing that NSYNC would have their reunion, but like, the Backstreet Boys, I was supposed to go to their concert this last year and they canceled it here because of some sort of like rain lightning thing. But anyway, I will go because at least they still tour.
You're friends with Nick Carter. So
you can DM Nick.
He's following me now on Twitter, obviously. So I'm very, very cool and important. You know, that whole era is like, in my opinion, especially like, you know, I have four kids now. This was like the last age of innocence, truly. Like, there was no social media. We were all watching the same thing. I was trying to explain this to them. We didn't have a million channels and a million different things to watch. We all watched the same thing. We watched TRL every single day when we went home. That's what everyone watched. We watched the same exact TV shows. You know, we had to wait a week to watch a new episode of that TV show. And then we were all talking about that one TV show the next day. There was no like, oh, I'm going to binge 10 episodes. No, there was like two shows.
Was like, if you wanted to see a music video, you had to watch TRL or VH1.
If I wanted to hear a song, I had to sit there, you know, in front of my stereo and push play and record on my tape recorder to record the song, you know, on my tape. And then I had to rewind it. You know, there was no like saying, Alexa, play this song, you know, and I told the kids, like, it was a big deal for me to buy a CD for $18.99, you know.
And then you listened to every single song. You didn't just listen to the singles.
You bought it for one song, but then you had to listen, you know, to 20 because that was like the only music you had. There's just something so kind of magical and innocent about that time. And I feel like we were the last generation who got to have an innocent childhood where, like, you know, breaking into a Hollywood event was like the height of like bad behavior.
And nothing bad happened to you.
Nothing bad would happen. You know, I was trying to explain to them the concept of like when we would go to LA, like a lot of times we didn't really know where we were going, right? So we would print out directions from MapQuest that said like turn left at this, turn right at this. Well, if you get off track, you're screwed. No concept of how to get anywhere. I did not have a cell phone. So if we got lost, we had to pull over at like Carl's Jr. and go inside and talk to someone and like try to figure out how to get where we were going or find the freeway again. It was like, you know, I'm thinking the danger involved here is like pretty high. Okay. Especially in LA, like you end up in some shady areas, but like we figured stuff out. We were self-sufficient. I don't know. There wasn't all of these things kind of trying to steal our attention. I was reading this article this summer about the monoculture events, but it was about Barbie and Taylor Swift being sort of this monoculture event where everyone is like interested in these exact two things. And that has kind of been lost in these last however many years. You know, I remember when it was 1997, we went to see Titanic, and Titanic was our life for 2 years. Like, we didn't talk about anything else but Leonardo DiCaprio for 2 years. For 2 years. I just feel like these kids don't have this. They don't
have. Britney put that reference in her Oops, I Did It Again music video like 3 years after the movie came out because we were still only talking about Titanic.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
The heart of the ocean. Yes, of course. I don't know how to like explain that was such like a bonding experience for us. And so when I did this TikTok video about the Backstreet Boys video, like the comments that I was reading, like made me emotional because people were saying like, I have seen your face so many times for so many years. Like I had people that were like, I'm in Poland and I know you. Like I know you. I picked you out the second that you came on screen. I knew exactly who you were. You know, like strange that is for me, like to hear that. I've never known that people have that connection to it, I guess, until now I do. And I was like, this is such a collective like moment of celebration for us.
It is.
And we all loved it. It's like a time of our life, you know?
Mary and I are definitely two of those girls. I remember seeing you and I was like, what did she do to get there? I was so jealous. I grew up in Connecticut and I was like, I'm never going to meet a Backstreet Boy because I live in Connecticut. Like I need to move. Like I'll never...
This one gal that I'm friends with now, she was like, I thought you were Nick Carter's girlfriend.
Because you were pretty and blonde. So I was like, they're all in love with her. So Devin, did you have any like interactions with any of the guys that like stood out to you? Did you have a favorite Backstreet Boy? It's a safe space.
Kevin was my favorite and still is.
He aged so tall. Beautifully too.
I liked them all. I liked Nick. I liked them all. But now let me tell you an amazing interaction. Okay. Ooh. So fast forward, I go to USC in Los Angeles. And of course, when you go to USC, there's celebrities everywhere. I mean, that is like par for the course. Okay. Like my sorority sister was Sophia Bush. Okay. Like that's just like normal interactions like at USC. Like there's celebrities and people who become celebrities later. Okay. So anyway, I am out. You know, one of the things that you do in LA is you would go out to these clubs. Back in the day, again, in the early 2000s, there was like Monday night was Joseph's. That's where you go on Monday night, right? And then Tuesday night is this and Wednesday night is this. And there's Club Oxygen. And anyway, so we would go to them and there'd be random celebrities there. Okay. So I have a couple of really amazing interactions. One of them was Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay. On my 21st birthday.
Devin, stop.
Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? I'm glad you're sitting down. So it's my 21st birthday. We go out and you know, we see Leo. And Leo tended to be not protected, but like, you're not going to like really get into his, like there's people around, you know how they used to call it like Leo's posse, right? Like, so you're not going to really get in there. Well, my friends were like, absolutely not. This opportunity is not going to be passing us by on your 21st birthday. So somehow they went over there. They got into the circle of trust there and they were like, we need you to go ahead and wish our friend happy 21st birthday. And he did.
And what was he wearing? He always wears a baseball hat.
I mean, can you imagine? Like, that's just like full circle of like being obsessed with Leonardo DiCaprio and Titanic for so many years. And that was that. But okay, here's another one. So we went out one night to one of these clubs and AJ was there. Oh. And I was like, I'm going to talk to him right now. He lined over to him. And I was like, I just want to tell you that I was in your music video for I Want It That Way. And this has been like the highlight of my life. Like I'm recognized for this. It was such a joy. And I just wanted to say thank you because it was such like an amazing and like joyful, delightful experience. He was so awesome. We sat there and chatted and he was so sweet. I think he like genuinely appreciated hearing like that it was so, you know, exciting and that I would, you know, that it was like a life-changing moment.
You're like, except the fact that you ate in front of us.
When we would do this stuff in high school, we felt like we were young, you know, like these guys are adults and we're like high school kids. But then when you get into college and then you're out and you're like, no, we're kind of like peers. It's weird, you know? So you sort of felt like, I guess that intimidation factor was less so. And I then was not scared to just go up and like talk to people and be like, oh my gosh, I love you. I loved you, but I'm cool. I'm normal. I'm not going to be a weirdo, but
I'm not going to cut off a piece of your hair.
Did you find that your, I don't want to say allegiance, but your favoritism switched a little from NSYNC to Backstreet Boys after that experience or spread itself out a little bit more?
You know, I never felt that we needed to pit the guys against each other.
True.
Now knowing what I know, like as an adult, I'm sure they did feel competitive. And you remember that time when Millennium came out and it was so huge and then No Strings Attached came out and it was so huge. It was just like, there was enough to go around and these things kind of fed each other. You know, it was like maybe when Millennium was starting to crest, you know, that's when No Strings Attached came out. But, you know, I have equal opportunity love for all women. And you know who else I love? 98 Degrees. You know,
hell yeah.
I loved LFO.
O-Town. Okay.
O-Town.
I loved O-Town. I loved all of these. Like, and I still do, frankly. Same. You know, I was a huge Newlyweds fan. I remember like forcing my husband to watch Newlyweds back in the day.
Yes.
And he, you know, he got into it too because it's like, it was so addictive. But I loved 98 Degrees. I loved Nick Lachey. I loved all these guys.
It sounds like you're a pro boy band because I saw you posted that excerpt of your book and you mentioned like One Direction and Jonas Brothers. I was like, she's such a boy band girly still. I love it.
I am a teeny bopper like through and through. And it doesn't matter how old I get. You know, I'm 41. It's still going to be there for me. And it makes me laugh because my kids, like, I'm at like a family party and I heard some of my nieces talking about the Backstreet Boys, like they were a new band. Like they were talking about like, you know, some sort of new music they had, or I don't know what. I casually am like, you know, I'm in a Backstreet Boys music video. I'm not sure if you knew that, but you know, like they're not really new. Like if you want me to pull it up like on YouTube, I can't. And that was, I think, like once your family, your like kids or nieces or nephews get old enough to like realize like I'm not messing around, like this I'm being serious. And then when they watch it, they're like, they look at you with new eyes. I would say that this experience with this TikTok video and all the comments and like the guys in the band actually commenting, like they looked at this completely differently after that.
Well, because it's cool.
Val comment that she played me in the Blink 182 parody video.
Oh,
you were her inspiration.
She modeled her behavior after me in that video because she did that one. I was like, I was dying. Like there was just so many funny stories. And then there was multiple comments on that TikTok video from people who were also at that music video shoot, who I didn't know their names and I have never been in contact with them. They were like, I am the girl who was waving.
Devin, I smell an opportunity for their 30th anniversary. We get all the gang back together. Mary and I will come just to supervise.
Can you imagine how amazing that would be if they did get all these people back together to do it like as grown women?
That would be so special.
They're having their 30th anniversary celebration in Cancun this April. And I know. And so I guess another question for you is, what do you think about the Backstreet Boys is so enduring? Why have they done this? Like, why is it them?
You know, I feel like, you know, if you look at something like, you know, the Beatles, right? I think there's just something about boy bands in general that like it speaks to like a generation of women. For that particular time, like the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and like Britney and all that time frame, it's like this, you know, they call it like bubblegum pop, but it's like this happy, joyful, you know, it's not like inappropriate, right? You know, like some of the stuff that you're hearing on the radio now, like that I don't want my kids to listen to. Like, you know, this was like safe, right? For us to listen to, you know, like we would sit there and like practice the choreographed dances. Like this is how I spent my Friday night, okay, in high school.
Larger
like,
than life. Oh, yeah.
Like, I wasn't trying to go out to parties. I wasn't trying to drink. Like I was trying to figure out how I was going to break into a Hollywood event. Going to the events was one thing, but it was like the planning with my girlfriends and like, oh, what are we going to wear? And like, how are we going to do our hair? You know, that was like an era when you did a lot of updos, right? So she would like do these elaborate, you know, prom type of updos. We would go
like Haragami. Remember Haragami?
Yes. I mean, like that is exactly the kind of thing. I mean, I look back and I'm like, I remember seeing Scott Foley and Jennifer Garner back when they were married at one of these shows. You know, I feel like I was witnessing Hollywood history in a way that, you know, my kids would not be able to tell me who these people are, you know, or like who was married and, you know, the different relationships. Like I remember seeing at the Kiss FM, you know, summer tour and Britney was there. Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson were there. NSYNC was there. They were all there. O-Town was there. And we somehow, let me see if I can find it.
Devin, Mary is a big Britney girl.
Oh, okay. I got some Britney photos here. Hang on.
What?
This was the best. So like, here's me with, you know, JC, the love of my life.
Oh my God. He looks, he's wearing, is that a silver blazer? You guys look like you're at prom together.
Can I just tell you the funniest thing about this too? So I'm at my daughter's like volleyball game this past year. I'm chatting with this mom next to me and I happened to throw out that I used to be obsessed like with NSYNC and I used to follow them around. She goes, excuse me? And I said, oh yeah, you know, I was like, kind of like a groupie, but like, you know, not having sex with them.
Right. I'm not a regular groupie. I'm a cool groupie.
And she was like, did you know that I went to high school with JC Shazane? He's a friend of mine.
Oh my God.
Devin, you're the luckiest girl I've ever met in my life.
She then proceeds to send me photos of him.
Oh
from
my God.
So this is before he was in NSYNC. I mean, this is pre Mickey Mouse Club. I was just about deceased when she told me this. Okay, here, you'll like this.
Oh my God.
Justin.
Oh my God. I mean, that's right? You, right?
That's
you.
Oh yeah, that's me.
You guys are matching. He's wearing like a red Abercrombie baseball.
You know, so we would like hang out outside of their trailer, for example. So there he is like at the door of his trailer.
A beautiful sunset in the back. The sun is setting on NSYNC's trailer and Devin is there. This is insane.
I wanted to show you some Britney. Hang on.
Yes. Do you post any of these? Like, you would explode if you shared some of these pictures. I'm serious.
So when that video on TikTok went viral, a gal from BuzzFeed contacted me and I did give her a bunch of photos. So there was an article where she did post. There's a lot more. Okay. So this is really funny. So we went to this. It was called the Summer Music Mania 99. First, we start off. You can see Britney here. We start off in the audience. Okay. So we're just watching her performance. Okay. Then we make our way backstage. Okay. So this is me. And now I'm watching backstage. We somehow made our way backstage. I don't really remember how we did this. But watch this, okay? You'll die. I'm literally watching the 98 Degrees performance from backstage.
Oh my gosh.
I really need to write a book about this because it's got to make its way into one of my books.
Or like a boy band rom-com. We would eat that up. Got it. If you want to make the main character's name Mary or Kelsey, we Nick will also accept that Carter. Responsibility.
I literally just saw a book announcement the other day. It's called like a boy band rom-com. There's also one called The Seat Filler. I've never read it, but I'm like, I want to, because like that was always the dream. What if I get placed next to a celebrity or like one of the guys and then we like strike up a conversation and he likes me, you know, and then we date. You can see how it might happen, right? Like it's believable. I think it could happen.
Meanwhile, I'm 9 years old going to the Millennium concert and I think Brian is going to point me out in the audience and be like, I want to marry you, you little 9-year-old.
We all think that. Okay, this is the dressing room.
I wonder what was on their rider. I love knowing what's on celebrity riders.
Find this picture of Britney. Okay, you're going to love this. Okay, so this, it was a Christmas show. You can see here, we've got Topanga. We've got Danielle Fishel.
Oh my gosh.
I love Topanga.
Of course, this is like when she was dating Lance, right? Okay, so this is really exciting. So this is Britney. Okay, so here she is. Now she's getting interviewed by Keenan. That's the funny thing. Keenan, back when he was on Nickelodeon.
Keenan Thompson. Yeah.
Stop.
You know, and then here.
Those are like never before seen pictures of Britney.
I have many never before seen.
Mary's going to faint.
Exclusive Britney photos. You know, it was really interesting because we did see some interesting stuff behind the scenes. Like one thing was at that San Diego show. So we were backstage, like where people would walk off basically. Mm-hmm. And we saw like Nick and Jessica together. And that was like before they were married and they were saying goodbye to each other. Like, I think they must've been going separate ways. And she was like crying. That like they were getting separated. Yeah, like these were like things that I'm like, oh my gosh, just, you know, it was such like a point in time, you know?
That would have been on page 6 the next day. But, like it's different now.
This was like the time when we were, you know, we were all reading like Perez Hilton.
Yes.
I loved Perez a little too much.
I'm trying to think, you know, what interesting stuff. Like I met multiple members of like JC's family, you know, like Joey Fatone's brother was like their videographer. So he was around too. There were so many things. We would go to NSYNC concerts and we would sneak backstage. We did get in trouble one time. We got in trouble. We took it too far one time.
Can you tell us what that was like?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we went to an NSYNC concert that was in Irvine, which is where I live. So it was like in my backyard, basically. And we had made passes that said like crew. Or I don't know, something that was egregious. Like it was very clearly like these
makeup artists.
Yeah. And we went there very early. So like, let's say their concert was like at 6 or 7 or whatever. We were there at like 2. Okay. So we got in without an issue. And then we ended up like backstage, like basically where the craft services like were. And we were like sitting at a table because we were like, well, now what do we do? And then eventually like some security guard came up and was like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And we were like, oh, I don't know. Like, oh, we got passes. Well, they took our passes. They knew they were fake. They took pictures of us. We were freaked out. We were like, are we going to get arrested? You know, like, what's going to happen? We did not get arrested. We got taken to the Irvine Meadows, like, jail, you know, like, kind of like a security jail. Staging area. Yeah. And they took our tickets to the concert. Okay. Oh. That was very dramatic. So what did we do?
Made new tickets.
We went out, we bought lawn tickets, and we went back and we sat in our regular seats.
Oh, because
you knew they'd be empty.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really get in any real trouble, but we were nervous like, oh, we're on some sort of list now with like our photos taken. You know, like idiots. We had put our names on the passes, like our actual names. We should have just come up with fake names. But, you know, like my parents used to make jokes like one day we're going to have to bail you guys out of jail. And I was like, this could have been the time.
So, Devin, what was it like going back to normal life after being in such a huge, like, watershed cultural moment? Like, did people treat you differently at school?
But I will say that the next day after the video premiered, I had, like, a VHS tape, and I took it to school. And in one of my classes, like, my Spanish class, my teacher wanted me to play it on the TV, which I did. And then we then played it, like, 3 times. So, like, everyone in the class literally watched, you know, my video multiple times. You know, it was a big thing at the time. It was just exciting. And, like, people felt excited to talk about it and to, like, hear about it. It was really just bizarre and funny. You know, to literally watch it every single day on TV. Like that was the strangest part. You know, like I'm just a normal person. It was strange for me. It was like, I can turn on MTV at any time of day and see my own face. That's weird, right? That's weird. It's delightful though. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times this comes up in my life. I'll randomly like get a text message from someone, like a mom on my street. And I'll get a text message and she'll be like, your daughter just mentioned that you were in a Backstreet Boys video. Can we talk about it? I'm like, let me come over with my album. It'll be easier if you just look at the photos. But yeah, like it just comes up randomly. Like there was a new Backstreet Boys commercial. I wanted that.
Tide.
Yes.
Downey?
Yes.
Or, yeah. Downey.
And I heard about that one a lot. You know, everyone always sends it to me. Yeah. I mean, what a fun thing that we all get to like bond over. What a fun thing to keep coming back. I could never have imagined that 20 some years later, I'm going to do like a TikTok video that's going to go viral and get thousands of comments from people like all over the globe who are commenting that like they know me and they feel like they know mm-hmm. me. So I just look at it as like, it's all just so much fun. And I can only imagine like, what's it going to be like in another 20 years? You know, it's really, it's a piece of history, you know, and I don't think I realized that at the time. I didn't necessarily know or think that it would be super enduring like it has been. But if you look at something like the Beatles, for example, can you imagine like if your parent was like in a Beatles, you know,
right.
like that's amazing. Like it's something that can never really be repeated. And I think as time goes on, these shows and these bands don't have the same number of eyeballs, you know, really. There's not a show like TRL that everyone's watching and hearing every day. You know, music is somewhat more eclectic these days. I don't know. I just feel like this is like a collective thing that probably won't be repeated. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe there will be another like boy band era. I guess maybe there kind of has been with like stuff like One Direction and Jonas Brothers, but that's not the same as what we went through. It's not the same as that 99 to like 2005 era. Like nothing compares to that. I saw something came up on TikTok and it was about the MTV VMAs, probably the one where Britney did the
snake.
Yes, the snake.
Yes.
And it went through all the just incredible performances that went on that night. There was like 10 incredibly iconic performances all at this one VMAs. And I was trying to like explain to my kids, like, this just does not, it's not like this anymore. Like when I watch these shows, I don't even know like 90%. They suck. They're terrible. I'm like, I don't know the song. I don't know the artist. I don't know.
I think it's because everyone has their own algorithm.
Maybe. Yeah,
everyone may be online, but we're not all seeing the same things. Like, I get all the 90s nostalgia of Backstreet Boys of the world.
Right.
Me too.
Whereas everyone else is getting like a Billie Eilish or Dove Cameron, like all these people who I will probably never see because my algorithm.
I don't even know who that is. I don't even know what you just said. That's what I'm saying. Like, I remember when this started happening to me, like I would see headlines come across, like if I follow E! News, for example, and I'm like, I have no idea who the people are in this thing that they talked about. Like, so either that means I'm getting old.
Or, they're all Bachelor people. Spoiler alert.
I'm like, either I'm getting old or like it's just too spread out in like reality shows or too all over the place for me to be able to like keep track of who these people are. But like, you know, even like The Bachelor, like, don't you remember everyone watched those first few seasons of The Bachelor?
Yeah. Krista's season as The Bachelorette.
It was amazing. Now I'm like, I couldn't tell you anyone who's been on The Bachelor the last 10 years. Like, I don't remember it at all.
I do think it's social media plays a role because these normal people are becoming celebrities. The line is blurred. Yeah. So there's just more irons in the fire, it feels like.
Yeah. Celebrity means a different thing today than it did for us. I was reading something about this too, like actors, for example. Like, the world is not turning out these like super huge movie stars anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not getting like the Tom Cruises anymore. You're not getting the Julia Robertses. Like, they don't really exist. Have you realized that? Like, you're not getting like a Sandra Bullock and a Reese Witherspoon anymore. You're getting sort of these people who might be, yeah, like a personality on one of these platforms or something, but like the majority of the world has no idea who they are. Like, my kids might be able to rattle off who these TikTok personalities are, but if they came up to me on the street, I'd have no idea who they were. So like, you know, if the majority of the world doesn't know who they are they really a celebrity? I don't know. I look back and don't you feel so grateful that you didn't have social media, that you didn't have any of this stuff, you didn't have a phone in your hand. I was reading this thing about that early 2000s club timeframe when I was going out to clubs at USC. Britney was going out to clubs and Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and the NSYNC guys and the Backstreet Boys guys and Leo. And like, they could count on going out and doing that without an issue because there was no cell phones and you couldn't take pictures of them. So there was all this kind of wacky stuff going on and you could interact with your favorite celebrities without, there was really no barrier there. Now they would never go and do any of this stuff because they would immediately be caught doing all this stuff. So anything now happens for them now behind closed doors. It's all
so sanitized when people sanitized. Come out now.
Yes. Yeah. It's all photo op and it's all
PR.
You know, yeah, it's all curated. And
but it is weird because it feels like there's more access because of social media. Mary and I did an episode about parasocial relationships. We had a therapist come on and like explain to us how this line is blurred now more than ever, where you really feel like you know these people, but it's just so weird. You'll never see them in person ever.
It's funny as an author how this is also manifested for me. So, you know, I have always been a huge reader, big nerdy reader, and I never once in my life ever considered reaching out to an author like when I finished the book, right? Never even crossed my mind. I just loved a book, or I would tell someone about it or whatever. So when I published my first book, and I immediately, like the day that I published, I start getting emails from people like wanting to talk to me. They would send me a message on Instagram, or they'll send me an email, and they just want to like tell you how much they loved the book. And they're like excited, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is a direct line. Like I never in my life even thought like, oh, I can follow an author and I can reach out to them and I can send them a message about this line that I loved, or like, what did you mean by this? How strange is that, that you can get an instant response from an author or a musician or an actor, really like whenever you want. And by the way, I love it. You know, as an author, I love it. I love hearing that feedback. I love hearing that someone loved it. I love getting like an email that says like what a joy the book was for them. How amazing. And anytime I get one, I respond because I'm like, if they took the time to send something to me, I'm going to take the time to say thank you. Just like let them know that I appreciated it. But it's so different. It's just so different. Like we just didn't have that avenue growing up. So I just feel like this generation, they grow up now thinking, well, I can contact anyone I want at the click of a button.
It is wild. And Devin, we want to ask you how you got into writing. Like how did you pivot from being in the most recognizable music video of all time to get into writing?
You know, I have 4 kids. I live in Maryland now. And I had a variety of different jobs. But at a certain point, when you have 4 kids, you just can't like have a full-time job outside the home, because I'm a driver. That's what I do now. I'm a driver. So I decided, what am I going to do? Like, I need to do something with myself. I need to like use my brain. And because I was always such a huge reader, I always kind of had it on my bucket list. Like, well, maybe I want to try to write a book. And I always kind of thought, well, maybe I'll do that when my kids are like out of the house. But I had a baby at home, my last baby, my number 4. And I was just like, you know, maybe now, I'm just going to do it now. Like he's, you know, an infant. I can't do much. I can't like leave the house. Seems like a good time to try it. And it really was just kind of a challenge to myself. Can I write a book? Okay, let's try it. So I did. And I worked on it for more than a year, like a year and a half or so. And that was my book, Meet You in the Middle, which is an across the aisle romance between a Republican staffer and a Democrat staffer. Of course, I live right outside DC. So, you know, it hits close to home. And I really just wanted to write sort of an enemies to lovers romance, you know, a rom-com, like what you would watch, like a really great movie, like a Sweet Home Alabama. That was like the kind of vibe I was going for. And so I wrote it, and I wasn't really sure like what I was going to do with it, but I ended up going down this path of getting an agent and selling the book to a publisher. And I was, you know, very lucky with the way that the situation worked out for me. I ended up selling the book as part of a 3-book deal. So that book came out in 2021. I immediately started writing my second book, which is this one here, The Rom-Con, which just came out in November. And this is kind of has a similar vibe to How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's hilarious and it's very fun. If you like a pop culture references, I am what I would call the queen of pop culture references. So you are going to get references to boy bands. You're going to get references to the early 2000s. You're going to get references to basically every romantic comedy movie that's ever made. Because on my brain, I really think in like pop culture references. Like I am quoting movie lines all day long with my siblings and my husband. Like that's how I speak. That's my normal manner of speaking, is just quoting movie lines. So that is like the kind of vibe of my book. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what we're all about on this podcast. Like you found your people.
I love it.
Was it intimidating after the success of your first book to have to like, I know you signed up for the 3-book deal, but yeah. Like, is it? Yes.
Yes. Yes. In fact, you know, when I was writing the first book, it was all like fun. It was like a passion project. There was no expectations. I didn't even know if I was going to like have anyone read it. It was purely me like setting a challenge for myself and seeing if I could do it. And so then once I actually sold the book, and it all kind of happened fast, to be honest. And I wasn't necessarily like knowing what I was signing up for when I did that. And I, you know, I signed this deal for 3 books and I had already started writing the second book, but as soon as I signed my name to this deal, my brain like wanted to shut down. It was so much harder to write the second book because the way I can describe it to people sometimes is that really be careful of making your hobby your job. Okay. So something that was like a really fun outlet for me and like a hobby and like something that was kind of like an obsession then becomes like a job where you have like a deadline and you have a boss and you sort of feel like you're trying to reinvent the wheel. How am I going to write another rom-com that's as good, as funny, you know, is going to make people just as happy, if not happier. So it was very intimidating. And I'm also like a massive perfectionist. So I like put so much pressure on myself to get it right. I was so relieved when I finished this because I just thought if I can finish this, I can pretty much do anything.
You did
it. So yeah, it's hard. I tell people like I have 4 kids. I've had a lot of jobs. This is by far the hardest job I've ever had. And it's because you're sitting in a room by yourself. You're staring at a computer screen and you can't blame anyone else for your bad work. and, you know, you're not moving as fast as you want, and you know if something's good or not good, and then you're beating yourself up, and there's like this constant kind of conversation going on in your head that like, it's terrible, you should quit, you should quit, you should quit. And so doing any sort of creative pursuit is just hard. It's just hard. And I think people think like you just like sit down and you write a book and this is just how it comes out. No, you write and then you're like, this is the worst thing anyone's ever written in the history of time. So you sit there and you pick it apart, you pick it apart, you try to make it better. And it's just, it really takes quite a long time. This book took me more than 2 years, the second book, to write. So
throw in a couple Backstreet Boys references.
And we're all good. Yeah. I had actually a reference to I Want It That Way in the second book that I ended up, I was like really trying to get it in there. And it didn't really fit. And I was pissed when I had to cut it out because I was like, this is so good. And all my readers know. They know.
Tell me why.
There you go.
I am going to do my best to shoehorn that reference into book three because I want it in there and it deserves to be in there. That's it.
That could be the title, honestly.
I should call I Want It That Way. You're right. I like this idea. I'm going to write it down.
Well, I'm excited to read it. Once I saw you were a pop culture nostalgia junkie like us, yes, I knew junkie. I had to read it. So my final question for you is, if NSYNC announces a residency in Vegas, will we be seeing you in the front row?
As a matter of fact, okay, when all this rumor started to go around, I'm very confused about what it was all about to begin with. There's no way that this whole thing was about this stupid troll song. I don't believe it. And I'm like, are they trying to like gauge people's interest to determine whether or not they're going to do this? But anyway, I can tell you that I was in a text thread with my friends and we sat there and we said, how much will we spend? And I said, the limit does not exist. And I told my husband, like, I don't want to hear one word out of your mouth. If this happens, there is no dollar amount that's too high that I would not pay. And the thing is, I think that everyone else feels the same. So I'm like very concerned about how much this will cost. I'm also a huge proponent that you should not be able to buy tickets unless you're an OG fan.
So agreed.
You need to be essentially 40 years old to 50 years old, period. And I actually, my friends and I came up with a list of like, you need to be able to produce an original ticket from their original tour. Okay. You can produce a photo that you have with them. I got it. Okay, got it. Like you got need it. To produce a poorly produced, you know, 1999 video of you doing the Bye 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 dance or another dance, because frankly, Bye 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 is way too easy. Let's do a real dance. Like I want to see I Want You Back or something like
I
that.
I have a video of me singing, here we go.
Here we go. One more
what
time.
What about, did yeah. you do Darren's dance grooves? Were you a Darren's girly?
Okay. So let's look at it. So in LA, they had the dance studio and I'm like, was it called the Millennium Dance Studio?
Maybe. That sounds familiar.
And Wade and the other choreographers did dance classes there. And Brittany and like Justin would go there. Like this was like in their off time. They would go. So we haunted this place. Now, granted, we're not good. But they had like legit Hollywood dancers that would go there. And this was like their practice, you know, their choreography practice. You would go and you would be able to take an actual class from like from all of, like their actual choreographers. Yeah, we would go there and we would like be hoping that we would spot them. I think now, like when you watch Dancing with the Stars and like, I think this is where they're practicing. We did everything we could to get in the proximity. It didn't matter what it was. We would do it like to get in the proximity of these people.
You are our idol. You were our idol. Like if we could have done what you did growing up, like, oh my God, incredible.
You know, the thing that we had was that proximity to LA and, you know, you could do this stuff really pretty easily. Then when I went to USC, this is another funny thing. We were right across from the Shrine Auditorium. So the Shrine was where they used to hold the Oscars. So the people who were running the, like the Oscars and the different things would come over to the sororities and they would say, we need girls at the theater to like do seat filling. And they would just pull us. So I got to do that several times because it was literally like 5 steps from the campus.
Mary and I went to Boston University together. We picked the wrong school.
We want to be respectful of your time. We're already going over. I'm so sorry about that.
We can talk about this all night.
We literally would if we could. So Devin, we know there's another book on your horizon after this one, but we'll just celebrate this one. Can you share where our followers can find you?
I do most of my activity is on Instagram at Devin Daniels Author. Daniels Author on TikTok as well. Those are the two where I hang out.
Amazing. Yeah. And everyone's going to go get your new book, The Rom-Con.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast. It's a joy.
I literally feel like I'm meeting it. We had Darren Hansen on the podcast, like, and we thought like that was the most starstruck that I've been, I feel like. But now I feel way more starstruck with you, Devin. You've been the object of my envy.
Yes.
Since I was like 6 years old. Like, I'm not kidding.
I literally used to look at you and be like, I need to do my makeup like her. Like, I wish I had blonde hair. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not kidding.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's so funny. I went back recently and I was like, can I find the outfit that I wore in that video?
Okay. I was going to ask you, did they tell you what to wear?
No, I don't think they did. I think they just said,
you're just naturally cool. Okay, cool.
It was like a 3/4 sleeve tight top and black pants. It was not cool. Okay. I mean, really, I was not a cool person.
You were the coolest.
Yes.
Let me tell you how cool I was. I was so cool that I spent every night calling 102.7 Kiss FM.
Devin, I did that 2 years ago to try to win a Backstreet Boys tickets to go see this like Christmas concert that they were only doing for my husband and I would call every hour on the hour and they'd just say 7 and hang up on me.
Yep. I had spent days calling. I mean, like, if I totaled up the time, it was full days. But, you know, we won multiple times. We won MTV Movie Award tickets from the radio. We got obviously the Backstreet Boys video. And then my sister won $1,000.
Oh my gosh.
Hot tip, everybody. In this economy, you got to be calling into these radio contests.
No joke. Maybe I should start doing it again.
No kidding.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
this was absolutely incredible, Devin. Yes. Thank you so much for your time, for sharing with us about your books and what that process has been like. It seems like you have it all. We know it's hard to do all the hats that you're wearing, but like, icon is one of those hats that you wear, not just chauffeur.
It's my framed tweet from Nick Carter.
I saw you posted about that, but I didn't know that you actually followed through with the framed tweet. That's amazing.
Oh, my God. I would have done the same thing.
I told you, I'm a groupie. I'm not joking.
We have a bond that keeps us all together. A sisterhood of the boy bands.
Till death,
truly. Well, Devin, thank you so much again. We appreciate you so much.
Yay! And
can't thank wait. You it was so much, nice Devin. To meet you.
You guys too.
Bye, Devin.
Bye.
Oh, my God.
Ah! Mary, okay, I hope I didn't freak Devin out when I said that I've been jealous of her since I was 6 years old, but it's true. Yeah. It's so true. She is like the most visible one to me in that music video where I was like, I need to look like her.
And like, not only is she that person, like the object of all our envy, but she's has all these incredible stories. She literally grew up how I wish we had grown up.
And in my mind, this is a poem.
And then she's like, goes on to have this great career, published books, incorporate pop culture references. Like, she was wonderful. What
my
a great.
My cheeks hurt so much from smiling. Oh my God. I got goosebumps at some points when Devin was sharing about how we lived in one of like the last ages of like true celebrity. I feel that so much. I totally feel that same way.
I got goosebumps too. But when she said, when they were filming, I Want It That Way, and she's like, I just heard the song one time and then everybody knew it.
I know, yeah. I got emotional.
Longevity, baby. That's a song.
I didn't want to be like Devin. I also got engaged to that song.
You should have. She would have died. I would hang out with that woman. Dude. I like her.
Next time I go to Washington, D.C., I'm going to be like, hey.
Hey, girl. Devin.
Will you sign my book? Well, we hope you all pick up a copy of the Rom-Con. Yes. Rom-Con, C-O-N. Truly, Devin is such a delight, but I mean, how cool that she also writes these amazing, fun, witty books. And your New Year's resolution is to read more. What better way to start this year?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Go follow Devin. Go pick up both of her books. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed as much as we did. Bye.
Bye.